Man, this week I'm excited. I'm starting this new series called The Elements, and there are times when God gives me a series or gives me a sermon to preach, and I have no idea what He wants me to do other than He just gives me a little piece. And as I study, I'm never left out hanging out to dry. God always shows up. He always speaks to me and shows me something. So I hope today, as we get into this series, that your heart is ready, that your heart's ready for what the Lord has for you. Amen. I mean, I don't know about you, but when we come together and we hear the word, we all need to be hearing, what's God have for me today? Amen. I believe that as we share the word, as we're faithful to share the word, that God always shows up. So as we look at this series, The Elements, Xander, if you could put that up. Oh, it's already up. Look at that. How good is he? But when we think about the elements, science teaches that there are four main elements that everything is made up from. So you have earth, air, water, and fire. They believe that everything is made up of some combination of these four elements. And this may be true. Do you know that science and the Bible don't have to be opponents? You guys realize that? They don't have to be opponents. In fact, I would say that science, when it's done properly, it reinforces what the word says. I would say that when science is applied properly, when it's done subjectively without things already being set up in the background, I believe that science proves what God's word says. And so when we look at the elements and we think about if everything is made up of these elements, if that is true, do you know that God created the universe? Right? Do you know that God created the world? He created all that's in it, so God would have created these elements. And so as we look at these things, we look at God's word, I'm telling you, we see these very elements in His word. We see earth, air, water, and fire, and in fact, we see them as representations of God Himself throughout the scriptures, which leads me to believe, hey, I can believe that everything that was made up was made of these four elements because God is in all of these things. So as we look at these, I want to look at how do we see the Lord in all these elements. So when we look at the earth today, okay, I'm gonna hone in on a specific piece of the earth. When we look at the earth, we can think of a lot of things. You can think of dirt and soil. You can think of mountains. You can think of rocks. You can think of, I think the thing up there is a little leaf, but that was the best I could find. But I want to hone in on one specific thing here. First, if we think of dirt and soil, okay? Dirt right here is valuable, right? We're in a farming community. Dirt is worth something, right? It has some kind of value. But what's important about the dirt? Is it the dirt itself? No. It's the rocks and the minerals. Now, I'm not talking about big rocks. That's hard to farm. But little tiny specks of rock, the minerals that are in the dirt, because they are what gives the dirt its value. It's worthless without the rock. Kind of like us. You guys know that? We're worthless without the rock. 1 Samuel 2:2, in part of Hannah's song, she declares, "No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God." Amen? There's no rock like our God, and no one is holy. No one is set apart like the Lord. He's on His own there, set apart like no one else. He's the one. There's no other rock like our God. There's no other, if you look at the rock as how it provides minerals and value to the soil, there's nothing that provides minerals or value to our life the way that God does. He's the one. Jesus, the rock. Would you agree that Jesus is the element that our world desperately needs right now? Right? As we look around, we can answer all things. And I know a lot of people don't like this, but I really believe we can answer everything with Christ. Right? If every person gets born again, if every person gets radically changed, I believe all of life's problems would cease to exist. They would. But if it takes everybody, all right? Otherwise, you got people that are still living ungodly lives, but our world needs the Lord like nothing else. And so I want to take you back to the wilderness for just a minute. And all the hunters said, amen. You guys are ready to go in the wilderness? Everybody else said, it's cold outside, all right? That's where I'm at. I'm like, I'll just, like, put me on the trail cam or whatever. I'll just watch it from home. But as we go back to the wilderness, I want to show you here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 where Paul writes something about this season of the wilderness. It says, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and they drank the same spiritual drink. But listen to this, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And now if you don't really know what that's talking about, it could look a little bit strange, so I want you to think back here. We're going to go back and look at Exodus chapter 17. We see the people are wandering around. They're on this journey. How many of you guys know that the Israelites complained a lot? How many of you know that we complain a lot sometimes, all right? The Israelites are on this journey. They're complaining a lot. They're upset. And honestly, as I read the scripture, I think they kind of have a valid point. They say, Moses, we are thirsty, right? They're like, they ask him, they said, why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? Man, look around. There's no water anywhere. There's nothing to drink. Moses cries out to the Lord. He says, Lord, what should I do because these people are about to stone me? Listen, church, they were really, really mad. They were going to kill Moses because there's no water. I don't know what good that was going to do. They still were going to be thirsty. But Moses cries out to the Lord. These people are thirsty. They're upset. They're worked up. You guys know what it's like when you've been in a restaurant and you need your drink refilled. Don't tell me you never wish you had a little bucket of stones sitting next to you. You're like, if she don't get over here pretty soon. Just me? Okay. No, we go to, I'm not going to tip her. I'm just not going to tip her if she don't come fill my... I know people that tip based on the number of refills that they're going to get, right? I know people that genuinely think like that. And you guys have heard me get on that soapbox before. Listen, 15% is, that's the standard. You need to tip that. As a child of God, you need to be one who blesses people, even if they don't deserve it. And in my opinion, how I do it, 15% is the minimum. You're getting that no matter what, even if you spit in my food. I'm still going to give that to you because I want to bless people. I want to honor people. But anyway, so getting back to this, they're thirsty. They're so thirsty. They're worked up. They're upset with Moses. And the Lord answers Moses in verse 5. He says, go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel, and also take in your hand your rod, which you struck the river with, and go. And behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it that the people may drink. Now, when you think about the body and you think about these people being so thirsty, right? Our human body is mostly made up of water, but if we go too long without drinking water, we will die, right? If you're going to go on a fast, if you're going to fast for, you know, several days or weeks or whatever, you'd still need to drink water. You could fast food the whole time, but you need to drink water. If you fast them both, man, your days are numbered. You're only going to get so far in that fast, and it ain't going to be as far as what you think. Okay, you still need to drink. Our bodies that, or we die. So they really have a sense of urgency here. They're dehydrated. They're wore out. They're probably tired. They're probably getting a little bit delirious, right? If they're dehydrated to a point, the people and the animals need it to live by. How did they receive this water? They received it from the rock. Think about this. There was a rock that was struck so that they could live. A rock was struck so that they could live. And if we look forward just a little bit more, we see Here they are again, still wandering in the desert. They're in another place that's dry, another place with no water. They are thirsty again and again. In the book of Numbers, we see they say to Moses, "Why have you brought us to the wilderness to die?" They go a little bit further and they say, "Why have you brought us to this evil place where there's nothing to drink? What's wrong with you, Moses?" Again, Moses cries out to the Lord, and again the Lord answers him in Numbers 20, verse 8. He says, "Take the rod. You and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring forth water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals." If you're not familiar with that story, Moses and Aaron, they get water out of the rock, but they disobey the Lord. They don't speak to the rock like God told them, but instead they strike it twice. And so because of their disobedience, if you've ever heard that Moses did not actually enter the promised land, he led them all the way to it, and God said, "Moses, you and Aaron are not going in," right? When you get there, you're not going in. This is why. It was this story right here. They disobeyed the Lord, and so they had consequences for their actions. But if we take these stories, these two stories of the rock providing water for the people, and we go back to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians, Paul said, "For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." That rock was Christ. He's saying that in these places in the wilderness, guys, in the Old Testament, Jesus was there. You guys catch that? He was there. They drank from the same spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. He was not only there, but Moses struck him, struck the rock to give life to the people. He was the rock. See, there's this belief among Jews that as they went along this path through the wilderness, they believed that this rock followed them. I don't know if you guys have ever heard that before, but this rock that was struck twice and this rock that was seen many other times, the Jews have a long-standing story that they believed that it was the same rock. They believed that the rock followed them around. Now again, that's not stated in the Bible necessarily, but it was this old Jewish belief. But Paul just confirmed it right here in the scriptures in the New Testament. And I want to tell you, when you go home today, read Galatians chapter 1. Paul said that he received and he was taught everything that he knew, not from man, but from God. You guys remember that? He said, "I wasn't taught this stuff by flesh and blood. I was taught by God." And so it seems here that Paul is confirming this old Jewish belief, and he's telling us that they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Jesus. In the wilderness, Jesus is there. And so not only was he there, but when the people were thirsty, this rock was struck, and it provided life for the people that they couldn't get anywhere else. See, it was a foreshadowing of Christ getting struck and dying on the cross for you and I, and providing life for us. That as we would have looked around, there's nowhere else that we could possibly get it from. See, he was quenching a spiritual thirst in our lives, that we could have looked around and we could have said, "There's nothing to drink here." But Christ was struck so that we could have life in him. No one is holy like the Lord. There is none besides you, Lord, for there is no other rock like our God. Have you received life from the rock? See, here's the thing, is it's up to us to drink. You guys realize that? I wonder how many people were present when that rock was struck that they refused to drink it and they died. I bet there was some. I mean, there was a lot of people, more than what we could know. And I'm going to tell you that there were some of them that refused to drink it. I'm not drinking out of that rock. Right? That rock doesn't look right. I want water somewhere else. Get me something else. You know, there's a lot of us, a lot of people that they know what Jesus has done for them. They know that Jesus has died on the cross, that he's offered them new life, but they've yet to accept what he offers them. It's up to us to drink. It's up to us to accept it. It's more than just repeating a prayer. It's about accepting the gift of new life, the abundant gift, but you got to drink first. And there's too many people, some maybe in this room, some listening online, who know the rock who has been struck. They've heard of Jesus. They've heard of the story. They know what he provides. They know there's water flowing out, right, metaphorically. They know that Jesus offers new life, but there's something about them where they just refuse to drink it. Just not yet. I mean, you guys have been there and said that. Not yet. Maybe later. Maybe later in life. Maybe as I'm about to die. Listen, friend, you may not get that chance to make that decision as you're about to die. Do you know Jesus, or do you just know about him? It's time to drink. Time to live. Be born again. And so when we look at the second time the water came out of the rock in the wilderness, see, there's a key to this story. You know, God doesn't do anything that he does without reason. You guys know that? You guys know that he wasn't just messing with Moses and Aaron? It wasn't just, hit it with the stick and water will come forth. And then the next time, if you noticed, God told them to grab the rod. God told them to grab the rod, but then he said, speak to the rock. You ever thought about that? Do you realize God told them to speak this time? Because once you've drank the water, once you have given your life to the Lord, you've accepted him as Lord and Savior, do you know that the next time you're thirsty, all you've got to do is speak? You guys realize that? Hebrews tells us, Hebrews warns us, chapter 6, about crucifying Christ again, crucifying him over and over and over. And they're like, that's not the way that it works. You don't have to crucify Christ again. He's done it once and for all. You receive him once, and then from then on, you speak. You speak. Part of that's repent. You repent. Lord, forgive me for what I've done. I repent. I turn from my wicked ways. I run back to you, Lord. I need more to drink. I need the living water within me. And as we do that, life is restored again and again and again. This is what Jesus is talking about when he says, I come to give life and life more abundantly. The first time the rock was struck, you're offered life. The second time when the rock was spoken to, you can speak to it again and again and again. And I believe in my heart that if they would have received that, if they would have took it for what God was really trying to show them, that they would have never had a moment of thirst again in the wilderness. That every time they were thirsty, they would have been able to walk up to the rock and said, give me some water, and it would have flowed, because God gave them that authority, just like he's given the church the authority today. Amen? Speak to the rock. Speak to Jesus. This is why Jesus is the rock of our salvation. 2 Samuel 22:47. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let God be exalted, the rock of my salvation. Man, if we didn't have to socially distance, I'd tell Jason to get up here and lead us in Hosanna. You guys know that, right? Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. You guys know that? Then you get in groups of two and in groups of four and jump around. You'd have to get too close for that. You guys probably wouldn't do it anyway. Kids will do it. Kids are fun with that. Except you got to tell them to not actually punch when you do the because otherwise they're shorter than you and they'll get you. It's not good. It's not good. But Jesus, the rock of our salvation. I don't know about you, but when I think about Jesus, and I specifically think about Christ as the rock, right? These are some of the things that come to mind as I think about that he is solid, right? Firm, immovable. He's sturdy. He is strong. And those are good and those are true, but I want to tell you that it all starts with salvation. If you don't get life from the rock, what does it matter to you? if he's solid and firm and immovable and sturdy and strong? What does it matter to you? What benefit is it going to be to you? What good is it going to be to you? But once you have accepted the life that he gives, once you have, it continues to nourish your soul. You continue speaking to the rock, and you will have a life that is solid and firm and immovable, sturdy and strong. Jesus teaches this parable in Matthew chapter 7. He says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine," this is him wrapping up the Sermon on the Mount, full of, just packed full of amazing teachings, "but whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Church, this house is your life. He's saying the house is your life. And here's the thing, in life, the storm's gonna come, right? It's a guarantee that the storm will come. And not only will the storm come, there will be rain, there may be floods, there might be high winds, right? All these are the issues of life. And here's what he tells us, that it will beat on your house. It will beat on your life. I mean, you guys can testify to that, right? There's things that happen in our life, they beat on our life. It's gonna happen. It's a guarantee. So the question is, what is your life built on? What kind of foundation does your life have? If it's built upon the rock, if it's built upon Jesus, it will be solid, firm, immovable, sturdy, and strong. Now, that being said, that doesn't mean that it's not going to be like the parsonage over here and you're going to have a shingle fly off every once in a while. Right? I mean, your house, you might have a pretty good house. It might be a pretty nice house, but sometimes the storms are pretty bad. You might have some shingles go flying off. You might get a shutter that, you know, breaks those little plastic bolts loose and it just beats on the side of the house day after day after day until it annoys you enough to do something about it, right? The storm produces things like this in your life. It doesn't mean that you're not going to grow a little mildew on one side after a while, right? Because the storms over time produce that in your life. Here's the thing, the house is going to need maintenance. It's going to need upkeep. Storms do damage. But if you're built upon the rock, if you have a solid foundation and you're attached to that foundation, it means that the house, meaning you, your life, will not be moved. It will be sturdy. It will be immovable. It will be solid as long as you're attached to the foundation. You guys realize that? There's a key there. It's not just having a foundation. It's being attached to it. You try building a house on a basement, but don't bolt it down. Just build it and sit around there and see what happens. It's going to fall off, right? Why? Because of the storms, because of the wind, because of the rain, because of all the elements that come against the house, it will fall off. It's got to be attached. And if you're attached, you won't be swept away in the floods. Do you see how important the rock is? Do you see how important it is for our lives to be built on Jesus Christ? If you're not built on Christ, you're built on sand. And let me tell you something about sand. Here's the issue with sand. In the storms of life, you're built on sand. That house could look just the same as the one that's built on the rock. It could look just the same. Same missing shingles, same beating shutters, same mildew on the side. My house looks like it's doing just as good as that person's. I'm doing okay. Here's the problem. A sand foundation will slowly erode and begin to wash away. It'll happen. It may take a while. You may not see it. It may happen all without anyone noticing. But what will happen is eventually it'll wash away until one day that house collapses. One day, that house falls apart. One day, you start to see some cracks in the drywall, and you're thinking, that's strange. I don't remember that being there before. The next day, you see the floor's getting kind of weak, and it's kind of bowing down in the middle. One day, that house is going to collapse because that sand, that foundation, is washed away if it has nothing solid to hold on to. This is everything else that you can base your life on besides the rock, is this shifting sand. Again, for no one is holy like the Lord. For there is none besides you, nor is there any other rock like our God. Right? If your life is built on your marriage, if that's all you have to cling to, all you have to hold on to without Christ, let me tell you something. The other person can bail on you, and your life is going to fall apart. If your life is built on your job, let me tell you that you could get fired. It doesn't matter how secure you believe that you are. There could be new ownership tomorrow, and they could start fresh, or they could downsize, and you could lose it. I've said this probably 20 different times in the last 7 years, but I've heard of six-figure CEOs who are now homeless and living on the streets in St. Louis. It happens just like that. It's not our control. If that's what we have to live on, if that's our foundation, listen, guys, it could crumble. If we're built on being funny, if that's our foundation, I'm the funny guy. Listen, one day you're going to wake up and you're going to be telling dad jokes. And some of us think they're funny, but some people don't. So just saying, you're the comedy part of you could go by the wayside. Anything you build on your life on can and probably will change to a degree, but Jesus is immovable and solid and sturdy and steadfast and does not change and will not move. He is the solid rock on which we stand. Amen? I love seeing his faithfulness to the Israelites in the wilderness. I love this revelation here of Jesus as this rock that followed them from place to place, because what it does is it shows us the heart of God for his people. It's why Jesus told us, right? He told the disciples, he said, it's better for you if I go away. Why? Because the Father can send the helper, right? I mean, at that point in time, he's like, I can only be with you guys if I'm physically here with you guys, but I'm going to go away. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Hallelujah. Who's excited about that? I'm excited to see what color my room's going to be. I don't know about you, but I mean, like, God knows you better than you know yourself. And I tell you, he's not going to give you something you don't like. So I'm like, I wonder what it's going to be like. I always thought I'd want one of those jacuzzis, like, in my room. And every time me and Christy go away for, like, our honeymoon or something, we get one of those jacuzzi rooms. We're in there for, like, 10 minutes, and you're sweating so bad because it's hot, you know. And you're just like, why do we always want these jacuzzi rooms? They're really not that great. You know, not inside in a room, maybe outside in the snow or something, but I don't know. I wonder what it's going to be like. He prepared a place for us, but he says it's better that I go away so that the Father can send the Helper, so that he can be with you always, right? So see, Jesus in the Old Testament, if he was this rock that followed the Israelites from place to place, he could do that because his people were all together as one. Now his people are all spread around the world, and he says, Holy Spirit, I need you to go and dwell with them. Not just among them, but in them. I need you to go because they're in the wilderness, and when you're in the wilderness, I want to tell you that the Holy Spirit leads you to all truth. Not only does he lead you to all truth, but the Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus that he is the Son of God. There's a time where Jesus asked the disciples. He says, who do they say I am? And then he gets back down to, who do you say that I am? And you know, Peter answered, and Peter said, oh, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And what does Jesus say back to him? He says, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven has. And he tells this to Peter, and I love that what Jesus follows up with, Matthew 16:18. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Now listen, I have an important thing to make sure you know in the scriptures, that there are a lot of people that believe wrongly about this scripture, that Jesus was saying that Peter would be the foundation of the church. They thought Peter, you know, St. Peter, not the town. Like, St. Peter the town is not going to rule the church. Don't worry about that. But they thought Peter, this saint, this man, like, he's the one. Like, Jesus has appointed him to lead the church to be world's greatest pastor, number one. See, what you got to know is Jesus was doing a play on words here. First of all, if you look at John 1:42, Jesus told Simon, Peter, he says, Simon, you'll be called Cephas, which is just Peter in another language. You'll be called Peter, meaning stone. And it specifically means a small stone. So Jesus is saying to him, you are a small stone, but on this rock, this large stone, I will build my church. What is this large stone? It's not Peter. It's actually the revelation that Peter has that Jesus is the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, on that rock, that big rock, that huge deal that I am the Son of the living God, on that I will build my church. And if my church is built on that, the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against my church. Amen? Guys, this is a big, big deal. This is the rock. Listen, this is the rock of the church. When the church gets away from the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the church falls apart. Right? It's all founded on the great foundation that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. If we don't have that, church, we don't have anything. But if we've got that, listen to me, the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it. This is why we fix our eyes on Jesus. This is why we declare that Jesus is our rock. He's the solid foundation on which we build our lives. He's the solid foundation on which he builds his church. I don't know if you caught that in that scripture either, that he says, I will build my church. Listen, would I like a packed church? Of course I will. But I'll tell you what I'm not interested in is a how to build your church seminar. I don't care about that. I care about how do I help build you guys? How do I help equip you so that we can go out there and be the church? We can go out there and share the love of Christ and the light of Christ, because when we do that and Christ begins to have the influence in a dark community, that's when we will see the church grow. Amen? He builds his church. But we got to do our job. We got to do our job. Christ is the rock. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Do you know what gates do? They typically are to keep unwanted people out. Right? I mean, that's why we build a fence. Sometimes you build a fence to keep your dog in. But if you're building a fence in the front and you're putting a gate on the front, it's usually to keep people off your porch. Right? I want you to stand out there and wait for me to come. Gates keep unwanted people out. You know, there are gates to hell. He says there are gates to hell. Why are there gates to hell? It's to keep us out. It's to keep the kingdom of God from advancing against the kingdom of darkness. And you know what? We do a pretty good job of preventing ourselves from doing that if we get away from the fact that Jesus is the rock and he is the foundation. But if Jesus is the rock and Jesus is the foundation, it says that those gates that are meant to keep us out, that they will not prevail against the church. That means that as we go out and we share the good news of who Jesus is, hell cannot stop God's church. You guys feel like that? He cannot stop it. We just come and we kick the gate in. Just smash it in. We go in and we do it anyway. A lot of people waste their lives building their lives on the sand. Church, a lot of people waste their lives. I wasted a large part of my life trying to build on the sand. It's not until Jesus becomes your rock and your foundation that you really begin to live. Can I get an amen? Listen, so why do we fight so long for so little? Why do we fight for so long for so little in our lives? Jesus was struck so that he could give us life. You guys realize that? You were wandering, you were thirsty, you might be wandering, you might be thirsty today. Jesus was struck so that he could give you life. All you've got to do is accept it. All you've got to do is say, yes, I am thirsty, and yes, I will drink. Too many people are standing around the rock and they're just complaining that they're thirsty. And the water's flowing and they're complaining that they're thirsty, and Jesus is like, take and drink, right? He says that. Take and drink and you will thirst. When? No more. You will thirst no more. Once you do that once, listen, the rock doesn't have to be struck again. You just speak. You speak. Listen, that speaks of the relationship that Jesus desperately desires to have with his people. You guys know that? I think that there are times in our lives where we miss a part of that relationship with the Lord. We get in the habit of doing things, and doing things are good, but they're not better than speaking. They're not better than speaking to the Lord. Relationship with him. If you want to keep the fire fueled, yeah, you can read the word. Yeah, you can clean the church. Yeah, you can make meals for your neighbor. You can do all those things, but listen, what keeps the fire fueled is relationship with him. It's relationship with him. It's a two-way street. It's a two-way pursuit. Build your life with Christ as the solid foundation, because the storms will come. They will come. Will you be attached to the rock? Would you guys stand with me? I believe that Jesus is the foundational element for our lives. You see, it's not just a foundation that we build upon, but it's a foundation that we can't live without. As we think about Jesus, the rock of our salvation, that he's the one that continues to bring nutrients to our soul when we're connected in him. If you would bow your heads and close your eyes, I just want to throw out a couple of things this morning that I felt like the Lord laid upon my heart. And there's some of you that are, you're too afraid to make the move. You think, I've got this life that's been built on this shifting sand, and I don't see it, but I believe the words that you're speaking this morning, and I've worked too hard and I've got too much that I would have to give up, that I'm afraid it's not going to be worth it. To you this morning, I would say that it's gonna be worth it. And if you don't make the move, if you don't make the change, if you don't accept the challenge, if you don't drink from the water, that there will be a day that things will come crumbling down. Don't let it get to that point. Don't let it get to that point. You can fall upon the rock, or you can wait for the rock to fall upon you and grind you to powder. I mean, one of those sounds a lot less pleasant than the other. And so for you this morning, if you have not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, I want to urge you, do what Jesus said, count the cost, figure up what it's going to take, because you got to be willing to give up everything. And he'll let you keep some of it, maybe. But you got to be willing to give up everything. This morning, if that's you, as we open these altars, I want you to come. I want you to drink of the rock this morning. Maybe that's not you. Maybe you've built your life on the foundation that is Jesus Christ. It's solid. It's firm. It's sturdy. And some of you have been so battered by the storms. Your foundation is solid, but the roof is leaking. And you're in need of some healing this morning, some repairs from the weather. If that's you, I want you to come forward. I want you to receive prayer today for what is it that the storms have brought against your life that's brought damage, because Jesus is not only the solid rock, but he's also redeemer and restorer and deliverer and healer. In the name of Jesus, you can receive it this morning. Amen. So, Father, I just pray right now for you to open up our eyes. Lord, show us what it is that we have need of that you know before we even ask. Lord, if we're fooling ourselves or if we're blind to the reality of our situation, we just ask you to speak to us this morning. Show us where we are. Show us what we need. Lord, we know you're the one who paid the price, and that we can receive it, we can have it if we ask for it today. Like I said last week, we're not beggars. We're not going to come before you and say, please, 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 God, because we're children of God. We're just going to come to our Father in faith because you love us. And we're going to say, Daddy, can I have it? Much of it you've already told us we can have. We're not going to be disrespectful. We're not just going to stick our hand out and say, Lord, give it to me. But Lord, we're not going to beg either. We thank you that for those who have received Christ, that you have given us the privilege of becoming children of God. And today, as we come before your throne, we come as your children, and we come in need, because we have a Father who loves us and desires to bless us. And so we thank you and praise you. Speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen.